Standing in All the Will of God. Commentary for the March 28, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Romans 12, verse 16. What is God's will? For thousands of years, humanity has looked to understand the answer to that question. Some say it can be found in catechisms and homilies. Others say it can be found in councils, conferences, and committees that hammer out exhaustive tomes of uniformity based on detailed dogmatics, creeds that sort them from us. While things are chaos elsewhere, we feel God is here with us as we strive to look, act, and talk the same. Our success at appearing to conform must be indicative of the state of our sanctification, our progress toward perfect righteousness, or so we feel. Where do material blessings fit into that picture? Prosperity preachers tell us that those blessings are evidence of a close relationship to God, proof that we are walking in His will. As further proof, they point to their own material success. After all, if God blesses the righteous, wouldn't He bless the preachers of that righteousness the most? But how does one tell the difference between this and the blessings of being at the top of the chain in a multi-level marketing scheme? Don't the texts say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth," 3 John 2. And doesn't God want to bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, Isaiah 61, verse 3? Who are we then to refuse all those blessings if God wants to give them? Others say it is God's will for us to withdraw from society and live in seclusion in the mountains, growing our own food and developing an off-the-grid self-sufficiency. This avoids pollution by impure thoughts and actions on our part, and protects us from those who would do us harm. But there is no safety. As Edgar Allan Poe pointed out in his Mask of the Red Death, evil will find a way in, and seclusion, prosperity, even carefully constructed dogmatics, are no barrier to death when he comes calling. Death stalks us all and will have us in the end, and no one knows the day or the hour. As Solomon opined repeatedly in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity in the face of that universal truth. So is that it? Is it God's will that our candle flickers for a brief instant and snuffs out, wax and wick unable to prevent that approaching darkness? That seems a sad end to a futile life that, according to Shakespeare, is only sound and fury signifying nothing in Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 5. But God offers a counterpoint to Shakespeare's assessment and even Solomon's depressing assertions. King David sang of it, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas." Psalm 8, verses 3 through 8. To learn God's purpose, we need only look around, just as David did. There is such a diversity of life that surrounds us, and the interconnection of all of it is readily apparent. Who has not looked into the eyes of a beloved pet and felt the connection as life shines forth from their eyes to embrace the life that is in our own? There is a depth to that ocular link that binds hearts and breaks them when the link is broken in death. That life, that spark, is from God. And it is why we are told that death is an enemy in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. It wages war against everything God wills. He wills for us life. Death would deny us. He wills for us loving relationships. Death would sever all of them. In answer, God promises eternal life, but he also instills in humanity, and to a similar degree every living thing, a genetic resilience in the face of death's predations that has allowed us to persevere despite plagues, famines, wars, and many other potential extinction events. The key to that is God's love for diversity. God desires diversity's proliferation. Why would he create so much of it if he did not? The more we understand our own biology, the greater the amazement about our capabilities. The picture accompanying this commentary is generated by ChatGPT. The people do not exist in real life. Despite its efforts, the AI engine cannot come anywhere near God's ability to create diversity and falls back on repetitious imagery to fill the gap. But where AI stumbles at representing actual human diversity when challenged to produce a dozen images, God excels with over 7 billion human beings, each unique and capable of adding something distinct to humanity's achievements. Unfortunately, despite the obvious intent on God's part to extol diversity as healthy and desirable, there are those who feel that God's will is to favor one group of people over all others based on race, culture, or gender. They do not understand the amazing gift God has given us in our genes and sow the seeds of their own destruction by trying to remove that diversity from the gene pool. My first wife slowly died from a chronic disease, multiple sclerosis. It was horrible to experience that loss and be powerless to abate the disease's progress. But now they have treatments thanks to genetic research and development. I have also received help from genetic research that has produced biologic treatments for ongoing immune disorders. Limiting the gene pool to only certain races or cultures would make development of these biological medicines far less likely to be discovered. In a world contaminated by so many pollutants that attack our immune systems, these medicines offer hope, especially since the Earth continues to struggle to survive under the onslaughts of those who would destroy everything if they could make a few cents while doing it. With so many billions walking the planet, we take the miracle of life for granted, not fully realizing how that ties us to one another and to a common future that can be either the greatest hope for humanity and all life on the planet, or the dysfunctionality that kills us all. God is all about life and wills that we live, even to the point of resurrecting the dead, though they be nothing but dry bones, as in Ezekiel 37. As Karl Barth pointed out in his commentary on Romans chapter 8, all of creation understands that and waits for its realization. Only humanity seems oblivious to that, even though creation's hope is pinned on mankind's redemption, resurrection, restoration, and recreation. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Romans 8:19-22. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. The will of God is not so low as to only wish for us material blessings and prosperity. It is not so low as to only wish us to subscribe to repetitious litanies of carefully constructed dogmas to prove publicly that we are God's chosen remnant. God's will was for Jesus to make it possible for us to have fullness of life as we were created to enjoy, according to John 10, verse 10. This life is a mere shadow of that one. Shadows are created when light is blocked, but the life God intends is filled with light. Only one thing can make life that full. It is love. God poured his love into the world through the incarnation of Jesus, according to John 3, verse 16. This was a revelation of the essence of God's character, for God is love, in 1 John 4:8. One thing that this life should teach us, heaven isn't heaven without love. And no matter how much we might wish for it, this is not heaven. And no theologian, no politician, no general, no oligarch has the love or the power to create heaven here. Though many have tried to force their idea of a perfect world upon us, they have always failed on that single point, love. Instead of an ersatz cardboard heaven that condones exploitation, discrimination, oppression, and criminality, why don't we look for the real thing? That is God's will for us. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to books by the author, as well as other articles, sermonettes, and inspirational things. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.